The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus went down to Capernaum, to a town of Galilee. He taught them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue, there was a man with the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out in a loud voice, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Be quiet. Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down in front of them and came out of him without doing him any harm. They were all amazed and said to one another, "What is there about his word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits and they come out." And news of him spread everywhere in the surrounding region. The Gospel of the Lord. Good, once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back. In biblical Hebrew, there's no distinction between hearing and obeying. I have to confess, I don't really know biblical Hebrew, but I've been told that in biblical Hebrew, to hear and to obey, they mean the same thing if they're not the same word. So when Jesus commands the unclean spirit in Capernaum, he hears and he obeys. He has no choice. And by the way, the devil is not like, you know, God's equal and opposite. The devil is not like God's foil, his arch enemy. God has no opposite. Whenever Jesus commands, the evil spirits must obey. Now, Jesus commands you and me too. But unlike the evil spirit, you got a free choice. You can obey or not. It's up to you. Of course, whenever God commands anything, he commands it in absolute perfect love. It's why Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments," as if to say, "I can't do anything but command the very best for you." And also, just by the way, that's why there's no such thing as claiming that someone is sinning and acting out of love. Sin and love are opposites. Love always means obeying God's command. In fact, obeying God's command perfectly, that's the very definition of holiness. But you already know all this. You already know all this. Because you try and you try and you try to keep God's commandments. And time and again, you try and you fail. It's very frustrating. You say to yourself, "Today I'll do better than I did yesterday," only to discover that today looks exactly like yesterday. You stare down the long, dark alley of sin, and you say to yourself, "I've been down that road before. I know it's a dead end. I know where it leads." And still you walk the road. Very frustrating. This is true, of course, because our hearts are only partially converted. We have little corners of our hearts that don't yet really belong to God. But you want to know why else it's true. And this is what we're going to focus on today. It's because we're guilty of the sin of sloth. Take a closer look at that today. Sloth, the most depressing sin in history. What's sloth? Well, first of all, sloth is not the same thing as laziness. It's way deeper than that. You know, you sleep into 12 noon. Okay, that's sloth. But if you really want to uproot the weed, you got to get to the depth of the roots. Let's try to do that today. Thomas Aquinas defines sloth, and he says that it's sorrow that wearies down your mind to the point where you're not even willing to try anymore. Sorrow with what? Sorrow with weariness of trying to fight the good fight against sin and failing over and over and over. You don't know what sloth is? Sloth is the decision to give up the fight. In sloth, you say, "I'm no longer going to fight for virtue. I'm no longer going to fight for prayer. You know, I'm going to just give up the fight. I'm going to give up on God." That's the sin of sloth. Do you know what the telltale sign of sloth is? Just so you can do a quick examination of conscience. The desire to escape. Now, don't misunderstand me. All of us have a certain innate desire to escape because we weren't made for this world, right? We were made for heaven. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. It was like, "I'd rather be in Wyoming," or whatever it said. And I thought, of course, you know, that's why people have vacation bumper stickers and the like, because, you know, there's this desire we have for our spirits to be up and out of this world. We weren't made for this world. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the desire to escape. The desire to escape, its telltale sign of sloth, is the desire to escape where God has placed you with the tasks that God has given you. You always want to be somewhere else, doing something else, with someone else, never where God has placed you. You ask a saint, do you think it'd be better if you could stay on this earth for 1,000 years or go to heaven right now? You know, the saint would say, I do whatever God willed. If God wanted me to stay in this earth for 1,000 years, that's exactly what I'd do. So with sloth, you always have this desire to escape. You always want some distraction. You know, it's always shopping. It's always internet. It's always vacations. I knew this one couple, I won't name the parish where, but they were always going on vacation. I felt like asking, what are you taking a vacation from, right? You're always taking a rest. Escape. It's a telltale sign of sloth. Now, sloth is one of those sins you got to fight head on. It's not something you can deal with gingerly. So let me give you a couple ways to fight sloth. First way, learn to trust your knowledge instead of your feelings. Your feelings will lead you all over the place. They're like wild horses. So when you know that you're supposed to pray, but you say, I don't feel like praying, you go and you pray anyway. That's how you fight sloth. When you know you're supposed to get to confession, and you say, I don't feel like going to confession, you go anyway. That's how you fight sloth. When you know you're supposed to do your job, and you don't feel like doing your job, you do it anyway. I remember talking to a lady once who was caring for a dying man. And things got really bad to the point where, well, let's just say that she had to carry out some duties that we'll just call them unsanitary and leave them at that. I asked her, how do you do that? Yuck. She said, you gotta do what you gotta do. That's how you learn to listen to your knowledge instead of your feelings. That's how you fight sloth. Here's a second way to fight sloth. Give yourself permission to just soldier on. You know, imagine a soldier is trudging through the mud. Maybe it's World War II. Maybe he's trying to get from town A to town B in some cold, rainy, damp corner of Northern Europe. And he has to put one boot in front of the other. He just keeps going because he's got to get there. Don't believe that the spiritual life is always going to be any different from that. Sometimes in the spiritual life, you just got to soldier on. And the idea that helps encapsulate this is this idea. G.K. Chesterton said this, anything worth doing is worth doing badly. You know, so maybe you feel like you're going to pray, and you don't pray very well. God bless you. At least you did something, right? If it's worth doing, it's worth doing badly. Maybe you have to reconcile with somebody, right? And you don't say the right words, and you botch the job. God bless you. At least you tried. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing badly. Maybe you don't feel so great. Maybe, you know, you're kind of grumpy, and you say, well, I'm going to try to be cheerful today for somebody else's well-being. And you don't do so well. God bless you. At least you tried. Anything worth doing is worth doing badly. It's almost like a workout. What's better, walking around the block a couple times, which is not very much, or staying on the couch and eating more Cheetos? Anything worth doing is worth doing. I had a spiritual director. He once put it this way. He said, dare to be mediocre, but keep on going. So sloth. A tiny word of advice to help you. And you realize you do more good than you know. Just by trying. Just by trying, even badly. C.S. Lewis, he once said that, you know, if you get to heaven, please God, we all get there. You can look back on the good works of this life, and you're not going to be able to claim credit for any of it. You're going to realize the very best things that you did in all your life were unintended consequences of just trying to be faithful. Just a little bit of encouragement today so that you too can hear and obey.